Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Working in a trauma unit is one thing. Some people have had that experience. But working in a trauma unit on steroids is another thing when you're in the plains of Nineveh, where people have amputations, where people are on the verge of death, where you have to choose between giving one particular treatment to a person and not being able to give it to a second person, life and death situations. None of us have even come close to having that experience. This is what has been happening in the Middle East with persecuted Christians and others who have been part of the carnage of ISIS and other terrorist organizations. Our guest is Maranatha Weeks. She is a Covenant Journey alumni who went with us to Israel, and she's also a nurse, and she has been on the mission field multiple times, including on the plains of Nineveh. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Maranatha, there is a journal that you penned, and it's one of those first days in northern Iraq where you're in this trauma unit that is put together by Samaritan's Purse. You're there as a nurse. It's sort of quiet until a bomb goes off in a crowded area, and your ER is filled with people. And one of the things you say is, to describe what I see would be inhumane. I hope I never do. But the verse that was given to you that morning was, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The other thing is that this daily journal of your experience, your father back in the United States was reading that as you were sending it to him. So many emotions in terms of what you experienced, what your father would be experiencing, and yet he had the faith and trust to put you into the hands of Jesus in the midst of all of this carnage going all around you.
I think writing is one of the ways that I was able to process the event and process what was going on. And it's something that I've loved to do for a long time. And so I think writing that event and sending it home was a way where I was able to process it and also share it with, I know, my father and my close members of the family who were praying with me and supporting me through what was going on. And I just have an incredible family. I'm so thankful for them. And I can't say I know what it's like to be in their shoes and to be at home receiving these emails, but I would receive responses such as, "Are you okay? And are you sure you can keep doing this?" And man, I was sitting on the floor crying as I was reading this. And I would stop and look at that and being like, and I would think, "Oh, really? They really are? I guess I didn't realize there's some points while I was in Iraq that I didn't realize the effect and the impact of receiving an email like that on the other end." But they told me.
You know, there's one story that you have in here about a mother who ultimately was part of the hospital. She came in, she had lost three brothers to killers. And when running from ISIS, had stepped on an IED, lost an arm, leg, and two daughters. Mm-hmm. However, her husband, you say, had asked us not to inform her that the girls were gone until the day she was discharged home. That was today. She would discover that the two girls she had been longing to see and hold for almost a month had been buried long ago. The surgeon, pastor, and I stepped into her ward to tell her the news. An hour later, she was lifted into her husband's car, her eyes shining with tears, yet a warmth over her face as she smiled. Through her daughter's death, she had come to trust in Jesus as her own Savior and wept in both sorrow and joy. Mm. So amidst all of that tragedy, there's actually new life that was born in your experience as you got a chance to be a part of bringing Jesus to these decimated people.
There were so many opportunities. If ever we had a patient deemed a Black patient, which is one we couldn't save or couldn't salvage, we'd always have someone with them until they passed. And often with them sharing about Jesus, if they were aware and even if they weren't aware, because I think Jesus is our ultimate hope. Jesus has not only gives us hope in this life, but also a hope over the grave. And I think the hope that Jesus could give this lady during the time of such loss is the hope we have of a God who chose suffering so that we could be saved, and not only for heaven, but for a relationship with him now. And in sharing that hope with this woman, she came to trust in Jesus and realized that he is alongside her and he's weeping and suffering with her. Yet he allows it, he does allow it to happen, because man has created this evil, but God has a greater cause to come out of it. And I think recognizing Christ as her savior and recognizing him as a close friend and someone who chose suffering, she was able to leave that place with such a mingled sorrow and joy, having accepted Christ.
You know, one of your chapters, your journal that you did while you were there, you're talking of, it's called Dare to Hope, and you're talking about ISIS targeting children, that they actually hover drones over cities, and with pictures they can view the children, and they literally target these children. Then they fire the vulnerable, the weak, as you say, yet the fragile, the beautiful, and the innocent. And these children, one after another, are coming into your emergency room. You're having to do triage to determine what level. Can you help this person? Or do you just give comfort to the person because you're not able to save that person and you put them in a different place? You have a story about one little boy who raised his hands, I believe, and he ultimately was calling out to Jesus, and as though he was actually seeing Jesus there in the room with him. Tell us about some of these stories that you encountered with these people in the midst of all this tragedy.
There was a drone attack on a family. I believe it was three girls, three little cousins, girls and boys, and then a mother and an aunt. And the drone attack was fatal. It was awful. I remember walking into the trauma bay and just speaking out loud, these are all children, and someone turning around and just looking at me like, as if to say, I know, this is, you know, this is awful. And I've never felt kind of weight like that before. I've never seen a trauma bay full of children. And two children were brought back to myself and another one of my friends, Kristen. And we held two of these girls until they passed away, and singing to them that they were beautiful. And I remember in those moments thinking, you know, this should be their parents, this should be their mother, but it wasn't. So just to sing over them and sing, we sang Good, Good Father, and we said, they're loved by you. We changed the words to they're loved by you. And as we sang, I felt like the music just transcended that moment of sorrow, and it was as if heaven was coming down into that corner and giving an incredible peace, but incredible love towards these girls. And I knew that the enemy hadn't won. The enemy was trying to kill life and to kill, but in that moment, peace was transcending and God's love was transcending, and death hadn't won because Jesus has already won the victory. The victory is already won in Jesus. And so as those girls passed on into eternity, I believe they passed on to be with Jesus. And the corner of us showing love and being able to show his compassion in that moment was an ultimate kick in the face of death. And that same night was another girl in the ICU who was raising her hands and kind of making these beckoning motions towards her. And some of the doctors did notice and said, oh, that's, you know, that's really cute. And, you know, we thought she was okay. We'd done an operation on her and didn't notice that undetected a piece of metal was actually in her head. She passed away just hours later. So some of us concluded, you know, maybe she's
reaching for Jesus,
beckoning the angels or beckoning Jesus to herself.
Well, it's a powerful experience. Very few people would ever have the experience that you experienced, and there's so many lessons that we could talk about. We don't have time on this particular program, but we're going to want to have you come back and share more about your experience in the plains of Nineveh, literally in a trauma unit on steroids, if you will, with constant threats of your own safety. Drones sometimes hovering overhead, piloted by ISIS, and so many other experiences. But through it all, I think the verse that you start your journal with, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace. But you had a peace, and you brought Jesus in the midst of trauma. And as we are here in this country so privileged, sometimes we complain about certain things that we're inconvenienced by or aggravated by. And yet there's so much to be thankful for, and so many opportunities that the Lord gives us. Our guest has been Maranatha Weeks. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, libertyrelief.lc.org. And also, if you want to help persecuted Christians through our ministry, libertyrelief international.org. That's libertyrelief international.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.